Let us pray. God, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and we thank you and praise you for that which makes you you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. As we continue to worship God, in your worship folder, there is a sheet on one side. It's got notes or sermon notes. You fill in the blank. On the other side is a devotional that you can take home and use over the course of the week. Let me encourage you to do that as you continue your walk with the Lord. As we come to this stewardship series, it's based in part on a series by Dr. David Jeremiah called Giving to God. Now, when the preacher speaks about stewardship or when that topic comes up, we often think of one thing, right?
Money.
Money. But through this series called The Heart of Worship, we have fleshed out that there's more to stewardship than just money. We've learned as good stewards, we know that everything we have belongs to the Master. And that the Master, or God, puts the steward, that's us, in charge of all that He has given us. And that the steward, that's us, uses the Master's things as the Master wants it to be used. And then, of course, the stewardship in regard to money, the biblical model, is giving a tithe or 10% to God. And that tithe is to go to God's work through the local church. And offerings are those financial gifts that we give above and beyond that 10% that goes to other works of God throughout the community. And then last week we learned that the heart of becoming a great steward or manager of God, of what God gives us, begins when we give ourselves fully over to God. All that we are, all that we have, when we give it to God and consecrate that to God, that begins our real stewardship to God. Now, in life, there are relationships between actions or events where the results of one action will cause another action. For instance, Friday was a very what? Windy day. Windy day. Gusts of wind were registered over 60 miles an hour. And in the news, I read that five gentlemen, I don't know if you can call them gentlemen or knuckleheads, decided to go fishing on Lake Huron in a 25-foot boat. The swells were 5 to 8 feet high, and then they lost power in the boat. Without the power, the wind and waves crashed them into a break wall. The military ended up sending a helicopter, and fortunately, they were all wearing life jackets as they now stood on the rocks. Winds at a constant 45 miles an hour. It took two trips to get them to safety. Now, in this story, there are multiple causes and effects. A windy day caused what? Rough waters, waves. A decision to even go fishing put the men at what? Risk, right. Lost power in the boat with wind forces the boat into the break wall or the rocks. And then a small helicopter is forced into two trips because it's not big enough. Causes and effects. Each cause has an effect. And the same is true in the Christian life, according to the Apostle Paul. And he says, or we note, Paul calls a spiritual cause and effect the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And this cause and effect, as Paul speaks about being generous with our finances, about sowing and reaping, works in the spiritual realm as well. If I open my Bible and read the words in it, I will get to know who God is and understand what God desires for me. But if I continue to read and reread the Bible, my relationship with God will continue to what? Hopefully grow. The cause is rereading the Bible. The effect is growing in your relationship with God. A deeper relationship with God causes my faith to grow, cause and effect. The desire to serve God moves from thoughts to actions with my hands and feet because of my growing relationship with God, the cause and the effect. And if I attend church regularly, the effect is that I witness to others how God is important to me. You witness to each other when you come on Sunday mornings how important God is to you. You have an opportunity to worship in a community of faith. You get an opportunity to hear from God regularly. And if you apply what God is saying to you, you can grow further in your relationship with God and Jesus' bride, which is the church. Which causes the church then to become more effective doing God's work because we're committed to save, or we're committed to serve others by proclaiming the gospel, by helping the needy, by making disciples of Jesus Christ. Which fits in with our purpose here at Heartland, which is sharing the journey to know, love, and serve God. Now, Paul states about this principle of sowing and reaping to the Corinthians church with this statement. Read it with me. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In this sowing and reaping principle, Paul speaks to the heart. He speaks to the heart of who we are as individual people and as a church, as an organism. Though we are not a mega church with mega resources, the principle of sowing and reaping still applies to us as individuals and as a church. If I have a stalk of corn, let's say, and on that stalk are 5 ears of corn, and if I take every one of those ears and I cook it up and I put some butter on it, for you salt lovers, maybe a little salt, and I eat it all, I have nothing left to produce more corn. The corn that was sown only went to feed me. However, if I take one of those ears of corn and I plant or sow it, all sorts of kernels, then over time I will reap more corn, right? I will not have fed myself for a meal or two, but I could feed myself for a lifetime. And if I continue to sow corn, I will continue to what? Reap corn. Now Paul takes it another step, beyond maybe the physical act of sowing we often think of, and states this. Read it with me. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many times have you signed up to do something? Signed up to do something, whether it's in the church or outside of the church. Or maybe it's something that you want to do for God, and only at the last minute you regret that you have to spend time or money doing it. How many times have you done that? I'm too tired. I'm too old. I've never done this before. And then, even though you've completed the physical task, your emotional state is one of grumbling. And so, though you have done something good physically, you're spiritually bereft of reaping any benefit. I mean, this Saturday is an opportunity to come and to do some work around the church cleaning up. You could sign up, and then Saturday morning comes and that alarm clock goes off, and what's your attitude going to be? I shouldn't have signed up, right? We have to note that the wise steward, according to Paul, determines what they can give to God and then does it cheerfully. Cheerfully. Repeat after me. Ready? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Say that. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Say it one more time. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So if we're speaking in terms of giving to God or sowing into the kingdom of God, let's say of our time, then figure out what you can do and then do it cheerfully. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. What if we were talking about our abilities, the things we can do? Then figure out what you can do and then do it cheerfully. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. How about our financial giving? Determine what you can give and then give it cheerfully. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. What about our witness to God? Determine what you can say or do on behalf of God and then do it cheerfully, no matter how hard your knees are shaking. No matter what you think somebody else is going to say because you spoke or planted or sowed some words of God into their life. Do it cheerfully. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Who wants to be a cheerful giver? Yeah. We all do. And it's not to say that we won't encounter any struggles when we're giving. A friend told me the other day that he enjoys spending some quiet time with God in the morning. When he gets there, he wants to do it more often. He's giving God his presence. The problem is he turns on the news while he's laying in bed, trying to catch up. And you know how the news can just keep you anchored, even in between commercials. Coming up will be blah. And you're like, oh, I gotta see that. Right? So he had to figure out a way to turn off the TV so he could sow into God some of his presence, some time with a cheerful disposition. And from it, he reaped the joy of being in a growing relationship with God. Not speaking to God out of need or some emergency, but speaking with God, friend to friend, over a cup of coffee or tea or water. So determine what you can do, what you can be, how you can pray, how you can give, how you can give witness to, and do it cheerfully. Boy, it's so much more fun than grumbling. Now, Paul goes on to speak to the Corinthian church in terms of sowing and reaping. If you sow generously, then you will reap generously. R.G. Letourneau was born in 1888 and began working at the age of 14, and he was doing whatever kind of work or physical labor he could do. He learned how to weld, he learned how to work on cars, found that he was really good with motors, and he eventually determined that the Lord had given him a passion for mechanical things. He was asked at one point to level some ground for a farmer, and he found himself making a machine that could do the job. Well, the big business was leveling ground for roads in his day. And so if he continued to level land, he decided that he needed to continue to make machines so that he could level this land or level the earth faster and with more ease. Now, Letourneau was a Christian man, and during the Depression, he had made $35,000. $35,000. But he had also promised $5,000 to missions. In today's market, that $5,000, get this, almost $100,000. Almost $100,000. Now, depending on how you read the story, he thought, if I just reinvest this money into my own company, I will make up the difference next year. Boy, who thinks like that? But as Letourneau would say, God would not be mocked. The next year he lost $100,000 in his business, and he felt chastened or humbled by the Lord for withholding the Lord's tithe from the previous year. So he said he committed himself then to paying the Lord the money he had withheld plus more. His whole life changed. It's that principle of prior consecration. It's making everything that you have God's, giving all you are to God. Dr. Jeremiah writes about Letourneau. Within 4 years of making that commitment, he and his wife formed the Letourneau Foundation. And as God blessed him and his wife, they decided or determined to do a reverse tithe with God. A reverse tithe with God, giving God 90% of all that they earned and then using only the remaining 10% to live off of. As Letourneau would say, it's not how much money I give to God. It's how much money, how much of God's money I keep for myself that matters. It's not how much money I give to God. It is how much of God's money I keep for myself that matters. In fact, Latreno would tell you that God was his business partner. He would sell his business of land grading and focus on his passion of making bigger and better machines and selling them, eventually putting up 300 patents before he died at the age of 88. His financial sowing via their foundation has created ample ways of people coming to the Lord. But sowing goes so much further than money for Latreneau. Although not a speaker himself, he began to share what the Lord had done. And then he was encouraged to share that experience again with others more and more. He was invited to other places, not a speaker, but all of a sudden for the next 20 years or so of his life, sharing his story around the U.S. and around the world. He ended up becoming the president of the Christian Businessmen's Association and also of Gideon's. He was sowing seeds, sowing witness into the church. Because Latreneau was willing to invest himself, his abilities, his finances, his time, and his witness to God, to sow these things, God blessed him and helped many to know God because of what he had done. Now, it's important to know that there are three aspects when it comes to sowing and reaping that we have to know, so that you can better understand how to apply it to yourself and to your life with God and the church. First, you can only reap what you're willing to sow. You can only reap what you're willing to sow. If I don't give something away, there's nothing to receive back. I cannot bear fruit without planting seeds. You have to reap in order to sow. Secondly, within the sowing and reaping principle, it's not only important that we sow to reap, but what we sow is what we will reap. What you sow is likely to be what you reap. If you sow seeds of joy, you'll reap a crop of joyfulness. If you sow seeds of discord, you'll reap a crop of discontent. If you sow seeds of worship or time with God, you'll reap a deep and abiding relationship and presence with God. What we sow is likely to be what we reap. And finally, understand also this principle of sowing isn't the kind of practice where you'll reap the same day. No, most often what you sow will take time before it bears fruit. What you sow will take time before it bears fruit and can be reaped. Prayer can be like this. We sow prayers that others would come to faith in Jesus, but it just doesn't seem to be working. But God is at work. We want people to respond immediately to our witness to God. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. Oh, okay. Did you hear about the Tigers game last night? You know, there just doesn't seem to be any interest. But what you sowed is what you sowed. And what is reaped may take a little longer. We give to help the poor and the needy, but their spiritual growth comes ever so slowly. So many times when people come to the pantry, they say, oh, I like this church, I'm going to have to come. But you don't see them coming. But we have sown into their lives. We live in a society where we expect results right away. Right away, but it takes time. We want this deep and abiding relationship with God, but we must spend time in the Word. Time in worship of God. We have to sometimes look at the long game. What do I have to do now in order to reap in the future? And God isn't immune from this principle of sowing and reaping. When we look at God, when we look at all God has provided for us as planet dwellers, to help us to know, to relate to, and love and serve Him, all that God does has constantly sown and has patiently waiting for us. Eventually we know that God took one more step in sowing. To put some skin in His own sowing game, we have to note that God the Father willingly sowed too in the form of sending His Son. to us by sending Jesus. God, who lived among us. But then Jesus sowed too. Jesus sowed words of wisdom. Jesus sowed actions of grace and compassion. Jesus sowed his entire life, his whole being, that we might come to know God better. That our disobedience to God would be forgiven. And in turn, as Jesus sows his life, literally gives his life away, he does so as an example of how we too might order our lives that we could sow into the lives of others. He does this so that we might become unshackled, we might unshackle ourselves more and more from becoming the selfish people that the world wants us to be. Look out for number one, right? Instead of becoming sowers of love, of grace, of compassion, of forgiveness, which is the sower that God wants us to become. And God the Father doesn't just sow. God reaps too. And we note that God's reaping will be faithful believers who are in a relationship with Him and faithfully sow themselves into the kingdom. So that God may reap more lives into heaven. So that we might spend eternity with God. Let me finish with these words from Paul to the Corinthians and then to us today. He says this, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He who supplies to the sower seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Thanksgiving to God. "You will abound in every good work. You will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness so that you can be generous on every occasion, resulting in thanksgiving to God." To reap, one must first sow. Let us pray. Lord, in this moment, it sounds so good, this sowing and reaping process, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to order our lives so that we would keep the long game in mind. That sometimes when we sow, we will seemingly reap right away, and other times when we sow, we will not see the outcome. Like the seeds of an apple planted in the ground, we may not be around for the reaping that takes place. But God, help us to become that good steward in all that we have and in all that we do. That you might be glorified. And Lord, as we learned last week, we need to surrender all we are to all that you would have us do. Lord, we surrender it all. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen. Please stand and join us in our responsive hymn, "I Surrender All," 354 or the screen.
be seated. If you'd like to either join on page 12 of your red hymnal or up on the screen behind me, we will enter into our time of word and table. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in the peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in a time of confession, confessing any known sin in your life, and then simply just asking God for forgiveness. Let us pray.